Lesson 7, New Creation Realities. A little bit of revision from last week. There was three stages that we talked about last week. And one of them was babyhood, childhood, and manhood. All of the characteristics displayed at stages 1 and 2 are a result of needing to have our minds renewed and learning to control our flesh and emotions. Spiritual maturity is thinking and acting in line with your spirit, as we talked about last week. Now, babyhood and childhood, why is the word of God so important to that age? Because we heard last week, you take a baby, put a baby on the floor, that baby will just grab anything and put it in its mouth. Doesn't know. So when you get born again spiritually, you can always, you can see the spiritually, you can look at natural things and you can see spiritual things. You get people born again, they can love the Lord and the babies in Christ, and they'll eat anything. I'm talking poison also, as in, like, you know, wrong doctrine, anything. So the babies, that's why they need a covering. That's why they need a pastor. That's why they need to be trained and mentored and come alongside of mature people. A lot of my friends at the beginning, when I first got saved, man, they all got saved, were all so excited for Jesus, and they got hold of some books, some of the craziest books, I'll tell you, some of the craziest stuff. I look back now thinking, oh, Jesus, thank you for delivering us from some of the stuff that we could have gotten to. So babies will eat anything. So babies have got to be protected, got to be fed, got to be nurtured in the proper food, like you would in the natural. You don't give your baby anything, you know. You've got to give the baby proper nutrition so they can grow. And it says in Peter, it says that we grow thereby by the sincere milk of the Word of God. By the sincere milk of the Word of God. It's the Word of God that causes us to grow. The Word has the ability to grow us and to develop us. Why? Because it's spirit and life. And we talked a little bit about the, that was baby childhood. Childhood, you know, the gruesome twosomes. When they get to the two-year-old stage. And all they do is cry and moan and complain and scream till they get their own way. And if you keep on giving them lollipops when they're getting their own way, you'll turn them into spoiled brats. In fact, one man of God says this, if you don't correct them when they're in the high chair, they can end up in the electric chair. Right? If you don't correct them when they're in the high chair, they can end up in the electric chair. And that's why we've got to train our children, you know, in the natural, in the way that we should train a child and he'll go, he'll never depart from it. Train them with good principles and honor and all these things. So these things are spiritual too. So the child, we get it in churches all the time. You get into, you know, they get into churches and they're going beyond babyhood and they get into childhood and all of a sudden they get a little bit of knowledge, whatever. But then they start wanting their own ways. Pastors, not acknowledge me. I want this. I want that. I want a badge. I want to be seen. And if pastors hand out lollipops to people like that, they will keep them baby, they'll keep them in that childhood stage. And what will happen is they'll end up causing trouble within churches. And that's what happens. I remember a pastor used to say to me all years past, this ministry is not about handing lollipops out. I will not hand lollipops out because people are having tantrums of what they want because it doesn't do them any good. It's just destructive. You keep handing lollipops to a child, one, you'll rot their teeth for a start. Two, they'll control the household. And we know, over the years, we've seen people in household. There's the child is running and controlling the household. No child should be running any household. The parent should be in charge. But for a bit of peace and quiet, stick in the lollipop. Right? And that's what can happen spiritually too. So we're not looking for lollipops. We're looking for maturity to go beyond these stages of childhood so that we can grow in the things of God and become mature. So the mature person is the one who's thinking and acting in line with the Spirit of God. You know, as you're created in the likeness and image of God, God is speaking to your spirit. Our mind has to come in line with what is in our spirit, which is the Word of God. And the Word is the only thing that can do that for us. In fact, this week, I've seen a few things happen this week with some real situations. I mean real situations, things happening in the body of Christ and little ups and downs and whatever. And every time I look at the situations, I can see the only answer is it's the new creation. The solical man has been bombarded with thoughts and different things. And when the enemy comes and he bombards the mind, in fact, Diabolus it's called, he's throwing the lies and deception, you know, and lies come to the solical man. And then people can look at situations, right, and start judging people in the wrong way and thinking they're not getting their own way and seeing it. It's like looking at the back wall, big white screen here, and all of a sudden you got this little black spot right here. And the enemy has the ability to get your eyes on that black spot from your solical man. And all of a sudden, you don't see all the white round about it. You don't see the good that's going on round about. But all you do is you focus on that. And I've seen a lot of that this week. And the answer is the Word. The Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God. The answer is the new creation. The answer is the love of God that's shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost. The love of God. Staying in the realm of love will keep your eyes focused on the goodness of God. When you got all the little fires running about and all things that are happening, the enemy comes and he tries to get our eyes and our mind and all the wrong things that are happening around about us, like the black spot on the screen. Our eyes has got to be on Jesus. Your eyes has got to be on the goodness of God. The psalmist David talks about it. Hey, speak of his wonderful works. Speak of his grace. Speak of his goodness. Keep your eyes and keep focused on the good things. See, what you focus on is what will manifest. But that stinking enemy has the craftiness and he's been a master deceiver over many centuries to bring the church and get people and get little things happening within church and getting people's minds on the wrong things. Well, this is where the Word comes in. The Word is a discerner between the solical man and the spirit man. So we start getting the negative thoughts about certain people and whatever. The Word of God comes to us and says, hey, love suffers long. Love is patient and love is kind. The Word speaks to us. It speaks to us and it keeps us lined up and operating in the realm of love. I've had to do it myself this week. I had a situation in my life this week, right? And yet I teach this stuff and it's in me strongly. But the flesh is the flesh, people. Paul the Apostle says, I put no confidence in the flesh at all. When you think you're there, that's when you watch out. Right, when you think you're there. No, do not put any confidence in the flesh. Put the confidence in God and in his Word. And this week I've had some little situations. In fact, it took me nearly 2 days to overcome a situation in my mind. These thoughts were bombarding my head about a situation and about a person. Right? And I had to go to the Lord and I had to... Tracy's got this little trampoline and I'm jumping up on this trampoline and I've got this praise and worship music on and I'm praising in the spirit and I'm saying, Father, forgive me in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I plead the blood over that person's life and I forgive them, Lord, blah, blah, blah. And I had to press in because I could not get those thoughts out of my head for nearly 2 days. And then I had to be activate. And then I went and I blessed the person. See, the new creation blesses. He doesn't take, he doesn't criticize, whatever, right? It doesn't mean you let people walk over talk. I'm not talking about that. But when a situation arises like that happened this week, I just kept hearing whatever pastor used to say in Scotland, Pastor Sherry, used to always say, when your flesh wants to do one thing, do the opposite. Do the opposite. So I went, cooked this meal, whatever, and went away and blessed this person. It broke it in the spirit. My friends, it broke in the spirit. There has to be activation of your faith, pressing God and refusing to think like that about the situation. That's where the battle, we're in a battle. And if your mind is not in peace, it's your solical man's a battle. So you've got to check yourself out. If you're in unforgiveness, I repent. Forgive me, Lord, forgive them. And make a conscious decision to do the right thing, to stay in the love realm. The enemy get you out of the love realm, you're in trouble. It's a minefield then. Stay in the love realm, not a thing he can do. Not a thing. Who are we in Christ? Many believers are afraid to say that in Christ and even more. Many believers are afraid to say that they are in Christ and even more afraid to act as though it is true. Right? Over the years, you've had people making confessions about I'm the righteous of God and people have criticized them and judged them and think, how do you think you are? How can you say that? How can you say that you're this and you're that? You can say it because God says it. You can say it because God said it. God called you righteous, you're righteous. God called you sanctified, you're sanctified. Remember, these whole teachings are talking about your spirit, man. I'm not talking about your flesh, and I'm not talking about your solical man. I'm talking about your spirit, right? We have to do something with our soul and renew our mind and crucify that flesh. When Christ says that you're sanctified, you're holy, and you're separated, that's who you are. But religious mentality and religious spirits would try to stop people speaking like that because that's where the power is. That's where the power is. Speaking like God says you are in Christ Jesus. So many believers have been afraid to say these things and even more afraid to act as though they are true. They're true because God says them. Who are you going to believe? Whose report will you believe? What man says, what religious people say, or what God says about your life? You have to make a choice. This is the truth. He's the way, the life. The Father has spoken his word, what we become in Christ, yet we find believers seeking to obtain what his love has already given. Right? So believers are trying and seeking, they're trying to obtain something that they already have. You're already righteous. You're already holy in your spirit. It's your flesh that needs to be sanctified. It's your flesh that needs to be crucified. I'm talking you, the person, the real person, the spirit being who is the DNA of God in your spirit. You have the DNA of God. It's God in you. So you're not trying to attain something. You're supposed to be acknowledging something. It's who you are in Christ. You're empowered. You're a person of dominion. You're a person of authority. You're a person of love. You're a person of joy. That's who you are. That's your character. That's your nature. You are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So we're not seeking to obtain something. We should be acknowledging what he's already obtained. Jesus has already obtained an inheritance for us. And we have to find out what those things is. Well, we've been doing this for the last 6 weeks. And here's one of the scriptures. Colossians 1, 13 and 14 says, he has. Say has. That means what? Past tense. Right? Not going to. He has delivered us from the powers of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sin. The minute that you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were translated from the powers of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. You were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You were a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Now, when we get saved, if we don't know this stuff, if we don't know this stuff, right, even though that that's what he's trying to convey here is this. When you got saved, he translated you from one place into another place. He put you in his kingdom. You are in him. He is in you. You're operating out of a new kingdom now. Why? Because you've been cleansed. You've been washed. You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lord. Redeemed from what? Redeemed from every curse. You were redeemed by the blood of Jesus the minute that you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You were redeemed from every curse that was under the sun. He redeemed you by his blood. But we have to acknowledge it. We have to speak it. We have to decree it that I am the redeemed of the Lord. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. I've been redeemed from poverty. I've been redeemed from sickness. I've been redeemed from death. I've been redeemed from every curse that was in the world. Because Jesus became a curse for me. He who knew no sin was made to become sin, that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So you are in him and he is in you. You can't get any more redeemed. You are redeemed. You can't get any more redeemed. You're redeemed by the blood. He's redeemed you. He's translated you. He's empowered you. He's given you dominion. Every curse was broken the minute you received Jesus. But if you don't know it, the curse can still work against you. My people perish for the lack of knowledge. So how do we stay in this deliverance? How do we stay in this revelation? By believing what he says about us and speaking it. You are walking in the revelation by speaking the word in your life. You are decreeing it. You're keeping yourself in a place of deliverance, in a place of freedom when you walk in him, when you speak what he's spoken over your life, what he's done in your life. I'm redeemed. I know that there were curses in my life. I know that there were curses in my family. I know that. And I struggled in my life with a lot of those things until I heard his teaching, until I realized it was by his blood that I'm translated. I'm no longer of this kingdom. I'm no longer of this earth. I'm passing through this place. I'm a new creation. I'm born from above. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. But I have to reinforce this with my mouth and my belief that this is what he has done for me. Jesus has redeemed me. He's redeemed you. And doesn't it say in the Psalms, let the redeemed of the Lord say so on a continual basis. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed because of the blood. So it keeps you walking in that place. And the enemy tries to come chapping and remind you about some history or even whatever. Hey, ain't me. Get out of here in Jesus' name. I'm the redeemed of the Lord. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm blessed coming in and blessed going out. I do not belong to that kingdom. I belong to the kingdom of God. It's who I am. It's not who I'm trying to be. It's who I am. I'm acknowledging the goodness of God. I'm speaking the things of God. And God starts to manifest his glory and his presence when you start to speak and you press into him like that. That's why the enemy's always got to come to your solical man and get you to look in the past and look into your families and what's happened and all of those things. I know. I've done it. And it keeps you in bondage. I've seen friends, same thing. Keeps them in bondage. No, I'm speaking who I'm in Christ. I'm speaking what he's done in my life. That keeps me walking with him in that realm. So it says we've been translated, redeemed through the very blood and forgiven by the power that's in the blood. You have been forgiven. When Jesus sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, everything that justice had demanded had been accomplished. See, everything that justice demanded had been accomplished, right? Now, God had a legal right to give man eternal life. A legal right. Why? Because he paid for the price. He paid for it at Calvary. His blood paid for the price. Legally, we have the legal right. And even the sinners have a legal right. They just don't know it. But they have a legal right to be forgiven because Jesus paid the price for them. But if you don't know, you'll stay in bondage. And that's what happens with people until the truth comes. How can you know unless somebody tells you? That's why God sends us to preach the gospel, the good news. So we have a legal right. See, God does everything legal through his word. God doesn't break his word. He can't break his word. His word is established forever. He does it legally. Little quick thing. You remember on Mount Moriah? When Abraham took his son? You remember that? And God made a covenant with Abraham. And God called him, you're the father of many nations. And that was a supernatural son and a supernatural promise that he received. And Isaac, and he's taken Isaac. Some preachers have preached things along the lines of, you know, that Abraham was screaming, taking his son. Abraham made statements and turned around and says, we'll be back. Because Abraham was a man who believed that was the son of promise and he was the father of many nations. And he makes the statement, we will be back to his servants before he even went. And he knew that he was going to sacrifice his son. And he gets on Mount Moriah, ties him up. Can you imagine tying your son up? And takes wood. It's a picture of Jesus. The cross. Takes the wood, gets the son, goes to do it. And the angel of the Lord stops him. And he said to Abraham, and this is, here's the revelation, what I'm talking about by legal, how God does things legally. He turned around and he says to Abraham, he says, I will provide myself a sacrifice. And Abraham turned around, and the theologians say they turned around and he looked at a place, it was in the direction of Golgotha, and he saw what? He saw a ram caught with what? And his horns with what? What was John Jesus' head? Crown of thorns. And he was the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. That was a prophetic picture right there. And because Abraham, God said to him, I saw that you did it. Because he did that, it was access to the Father giving the Son into the earth. He had to do things legally. The Son was allowed to come into this earth because Abraham had a covenant with God. And that covenant was, you gave your Son, I can now give my Son for the world. That's what that was about. Hebrews 9:26 says this, He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of age, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He put away sin. What it's saying, he put away that sinful nature. He dealt with the sinful nature. We know that men still sin as such because of the flesh, but he's not talking. He said he dealt with sin once and for all. Jesus doesn't keep going to the cross. Jesus died once and for all. He died. There was one sacrifice. The sin he was talking about was the sin of Adam, was the transgression. Once and for all, he made the way into the Holy of Holies. Once and for all, he was a sacrifice. There's no continual sacrifices. once and for all. That's why we can become new creations in Christ Jesus. Once and for all was that sacrifice, was the blood shed. In the Old Testament, it was year after year, the high priest could go into the temple and sprinkle with blood, and it only covered the sins for the people. And it didn't take away the sin consciousness, people, because the sin consciousness was still there, because they still had the old nature. Their sins were just covered by the bloods and the of bulls and goats. But Jesus' blood doesn't just cover. Jesus dealt with sin because he became sin, that you could become righteous, that you could become, that your conscience now could be God conscience and not sin conscience. Awaken unto righteousness and sin no more, it says. Awaken, be God conscience, be righteousness conscience. Why? Because you're in Christ. All because of what he did. We can now, it's not like the Old Testament. That's a better covenant based upon better promises. You have God consciousness from the inside. You've got, because your nature has changed. So Jesus dealt with a sin problem. Now it is a sinner's, now it is a sinner problem. The sin problem is ended, and the sinner has a legal right to enter eternal life because of Jesus dealt with that sinful nature at Calvary. No longer slaves, but sons. When we become born again, we enter into eternal life with God, but we also change families and have a change of status, right? So when we get born again, we are no longer slaves, but we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We're no longer slaves. You're no longer slaves. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Now listen, when you become a son, you get certain privileges. Come on, you'll know this. Your son comes into the house. He doesn't say, oh, you know, is it okay if I have this? Is it okay? He comes in. My son walks in. I don't see my son from 1 week to the next. He walks in the house, opens the cupboards, takes what he wants, and then leaves. Doesn't ask me. He just comes. He knows what. It's his father's. He's in his father's house, right? In fact, I think it was a while ago. Comes in. He went and bought a movie a few months back, whatever, anyway. He got a movie. He comes down, he says, oh, I've got a movie. So that's good. We'll sit and we watch the movie with him. Me and Tracy goes, isn't that wonderful? He went away and bought a movie, bless him, we're sat a movie. Found out 2 days later, he'd taken my FPOS card and went, because he knows his inheritance, see? He's not going, oh, Dad, give me your inheritance. No, he just went. He comes in and he knows what's in that house belongs to him. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And we enter in, you know, you can play. We enter in, we are sons. He expects us to come in and receive and take things that belong to us. We have an inheritance laid up for us, and we have got to go in and start taking our inheritance by faith. What belongs to us in Christ Jesus. Colossians again. 1:13 says, he has delivered us from the powers of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his dear son, of his love. He's conveyed us into the son of his love, delivered. Did you ever hear the little story about the guy that dies, this many, many years ago, the guy that dies, he dies and he dies in poverty, right? Broke, sick, messed up, old guy dies. The family come in, clean the house up, and they're taking pictures off the wall, and all of a sudden they find this picture on the wall, and it was framed. And they get closer, and they start to see, and they take this out the frame, and it looks at that, it was an inheritance that somebody left him of over $1 million. And he lived in poverty all his life. He never cashed in his inheritance. You know, as Christians, that's what we're doing. We're not cashing in our inheritance. We're not stepping into our inheritance, who we are in Christ Jesus. We as Christians can walk with a poverty mentality, broken, sick, a mess, and still love the Lord. Because my people perish for the lack of knowledge, redemptive revelation of who we are in him. That's what it's talking about in Isaiah. So Galatians 4:7 says, therefore, you are no longer slaves, a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Come on, joint heirs. I mean, if some king come along and this kingdom, whatever, and pull you in, saying, like, you're a joint heir. Everything here belongs to you. You are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You're an heir of the Father, a joint heir with Jesus. Everything that belonged to him belongs to you. We need to grasp a hold of these things. These are truths. We need to wash our minds with this and get this stuff into our spirit. We are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ, heirs of the Father. We are no longer under dominion of Satan, but have come into the family of God. Why are we no longer in dominion? Because we have dominion now. We lost dominion through Adam, but when Jesus came, he gave us the dominion back. But we have to walk in him to walk in that place of dominion. It's not about walking in yourself. It's about walking in him. As Paul says, I live, I move, and I have my being in him. In him. Through him. By him. 133 times in the New Testament, you'll find little words like in him, through him. Seek them out. In him, through him, and by him. When you start to see that, it's talking to you. In him, through him, and by him. Powerful. 133 times. We are no longer slaves to sin, but we have become sons and heirs of God, heirs of God himself. It means that once we are in God's family, we have the rights and the privileges now that nothing can interrupt as long as we walk and love in him. The only thing that interrupts your inheritance and your walk with Christ is when you step out of the realm of love. That's why the enemy always causes little fires run about and all the things that happen. Why? Because he's got to get you out of love. Because once you step out of love, you're no longer walking in that kingdom that you are actually in. It's the love of God. But you have the ability. Why? Because the love of God's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. It's already in there. This has to be developed. Privileges. Rights and privileges. I know my brother will understand this because being American and me being Scottish, you see, you got American passport, I had a British passport. I've got privileges and rights and with a British passport and living in Britain, the Kiwi passport. So I came to this country, and even though I had residency before I actually had my citizenship, right, there was things that I couldn't receive in this country that you guys could. Why? Because you were citizens. There's certain privileges that you have that the people who even just live here as residents don't have, right? There's privilege to go with citizenship. In Britain, I had citizenship, I had privileges there. So that's why I've become a citizen now. And there's privileges that you... But with privileges also come responsibilities, right? So in the kingdom of God, Paul talks about this as the new creation reality, that your citizenship is not of this earth. Your citizenship is from a different world. Your citizenship, it's in Ephesians. Your citizenship is in heaven. Who's he talking to? The new creation reality. He's talking to the born-again, spirit-filled person. You have privileges because you are a citizen of heaven. But with the privileges comes the responsibilities. What is the greatest responsibility? To walk in the realm of love. That's a responsibility. Walking in love. Walk. Do not hold unforgiveness against people. Responsibilities. You've got citizenship in this country and privileges, but if you step out of line with the country's manifesto about what's supposed to go on, hey, you can lose your privileges. So we have become, now we have become Satan's master. The moment we became born again and came into God's family, we positionally became master over Satan. Master. See, he mastered us before we were born again, through lies and through deception. But the reality is now, the more you get to know who you are in Christ Jesus, the truths of God are getting imparted into your life. And Jesus says, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Then you know the truth. When the enemy comes with a lie, then all of a sudden the truth answers it. No, you don't. That's not who I am. That's not what I am. The truth of who you are in Christ. Oh, you're just an old sinner. No, I'm not just an old sinner saved by grace. I was a sinner. I'm now the new creation in Christ, the righteousness of God. See, set free. You've got to speak that stuff. And then he comes with condemnation and with guilt to your life. Oh, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation in Christ. I'm in Christ, in Christ. No, you stop it by the truth. But you meditate on that junk and on that lies. Even though you're born again, spirit filled, you'll start to go down that line. You can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them nesting. Don't let the thoughts nest in your head about the negative things what people or religious people or even Satan tries to speak to you. You stick to the word of God and you speak the word of God over your life. And your life will just start to flourish. Why? Because you're speaking. So he cannot get the mastery over you. The only way he gets the mastery over Christians is through lies and deceit. He's a defeated foe. We are to reinforce his defeat. We are the reinforcers of the kingdom of God. You have to reinforce God's prince. You are the people who have dominion and authority to reinforce this kingdom. Mark 16, 17, 20 says this, "And these signs shall follow those that believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. And they will and when they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord was working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying of signs." Amen? Why? Because they had power and authority by the authority that Christ gave them. Christ has given us authority and dominion. We have to fear nothing. Jesus says in the Gospels, hey, there is nothing by any means that can harm you. You'll stamp on the scorpions. He's talking about demonic forces. You'll stamp on the scorpions and tread on snakes and take authority. Where from? The new creation, who you are in Christ, the dominion that God's given you. Romans 5 and 20 and 21 says this, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace much more abounded. Grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When the believer acted on what Jesus said to them, all the power that the kingdom of Satan had was powerless to stop the greater power overcoming it. The minute that we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and made a confession of our faith, there was no power over our life instantly. No power. No power of darkness over our life. There is no power of darkness can stop us from entering into the presence of God when you know who you are. Come on. Hebrews says, come on, boldly come into the throne room of grace and mercy. Boldly. Why? Why the throne room of grace and mercy? Because that's where you receive mercy and grace in time of need. But you have access because of the blood. Not because you were good this day and bad yesterday and prayed 3 hours this day and prayed 5 minutes. It's got nothing to do with that stuff. You can access heaven and you can access the very throne room of Almighty God because of the blood of Jesus. Not because of what you've done, but because of what He's done. You have access by His blood. We blow it. We think, well, that's it. I can't come to the throne room. Hey, shake that stuff off and shake that mentality off. Awaken unto righteousness and start decreeing, I'm the righteousness of God. I may have blown it. That was my stinking flesh. But Father, I thank you. I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. I'm a new creation. And I thank you that you made me righteous. I thank you that what you're doing, you're strengthening yourself to overcome. If you start talking like, oh, I don't feel good. I don't feel that. I don't feel I can come before the Lord. Hey, you're speaking defeat. And the enemy will take advantage of that stuff. So when the believers acted on what Jesus said to them, all the power that the kingdom of Satan had, the powerless to stop the greater power overcoming it. So he couldn't stop the minute. Listen, he couldn't even stop you making a confession of faith and receiving Jesus even when you were a sinner, right? Come on. He couldn't stop it even then. He couldn't stop you from getting saved. He tried everything under the sun and all sorts of things, but couldn't stop you from getting saved. How can he stop you now? That you're the righteousness of God, that you're more than a conqueror, that you're empowered by God, anointed by God, have dominion through God. He can't stop us. Every believer has the right to speak using the name of Jesus. Matthew 28, 29. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Not babies, disciples. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Mark 16 and 17. And you see, that's why we need the apostles and prophets and all these things. Why? Because there's got to be disciples made. They've got to be made. We've got to reproduce. We've got to reproduce disciples. Mark 16, 17 says, and these signs shall follow those that believe. Say believe. Not, it doesn't say believe. It doesn't say because the pastors or prophets, apostles, whatever. It says those who believe in my name will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Those who believe. The apostles, prophets, and pastors and teachers and all those gifts are there just to empower, to bring revelation, to mature the body so they can operate in this stuff that he's talking about. In the name of Jesus, he's authorized us as the new creation, not soul and body. He has given us his name. Who's he given the name to? The new creation. Not your flesh, not your soulical man, not your emotions, not your feelings. You have a name that's above all names that you can use. He gave that to the new creation. He gave that to the person who he made in his likeness and his image, which is the new creation man. There is authority in his name. There is power in his name. His name is above every other name. His name. Not my name, not your name, not the pastor's name, the name of Jesus. The devil hates that name. That's why he's tried over centuries to stop getting Bible out of schools and speaking about Jesus. They've done it even in the book of Acts. They tried to stop them speaking in that name. And what did they were getting persecuted. And what did they say? They didn't ask God to deliver from the persecution. They says, God, give us more boldness that we may speak thy name. They wanted to stop them speaking thy name because that name has all power and all authority. I've been in situations in my life where I've had devils manifesting in front of me through people, and all of a sudden I went, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, foul thing. I wasn't speaking to the person. I was speaking to that foul demonic force, and all of a sudden the person stood like that and go, whoa, whoa, what happened there? What happened there? They had no idea what happened. They were influenced by a demonic force. We have power and authority in his name. And there will be times, and the seasons that we are coming into, and the places that we are going to preach the gospel, there will be manifestations of those things, but there is nothing to fear. The greater one dwells within you. He is in you, the greater one, God, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The name is recognized in three worlds, in heaven and earth and under the earth, Philippians 2 and 10. It's recognized. It's recognized. That name of Jesus, that name that's above all names, that beautiful name, all power, all authority is in that name. We are made righteous. Jesus' life during his earth walk was amazing to men because of how he lived. He spoke differently. He acted differently. Righteousness made Jesus absolute master over every situation. His right standing with his Father. Now remember, he did not walk as the Son of God. He didn't operate out of his deity. We're talking about Jesus, right, as the Son of Man and walking in this righteousness before his Father. Righteousness made Jesus absolute master over every situation. When a man became a new creation, he receives the same righteousness that Jesus had. When you became a new creation in Christ, when you got born again, you received righteousness, the same righteousness that Jesus walked in before his Father. You have the same righteousness, the same ability to stand in the presence of your Father without condemnation and without guilt and without inferiority. There's no inferiority when you know that you're the righteousness of God. Here's the definition of it, actually, before we get there. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, but of him, this is of him, talking about Jesus, of him you are in Christ, Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. What a mouthful. I mean, look at it. Righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Who's he talking to? Your spirit was redeemed. Your spirit was sanctified, made holy. Your spirit was made righteous because of the blood of the Lamb. You are in him and he is in you. You are already these things. You're not trying to be. You are these things. But you have to speak and declare and basically renew your mind with these truths so you can start walking as he's called you to walk. He's been made unto you wisdom. Now, here's the definition of righteousness. The definition of righteousness is the ability to stand in the presence of the Father without the sense of guilt or inferiority, as though sin had never existed. As though sin had never existed. That's what righteousness gives you the ability to do, to stand in the presence of the Father as though sin never existed. His righteousness has the ability, you can stand in his presence, no condemnation, no guilt, no inferiority. But you have to start to speak, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He who knew no sin was made to become righteous, made me to become righteous, because he knew sin, he became sin that I could become righteous. He took my sin, that old nature. Because Jesus was master over demons in every circumstance, then when we who are new creations are also masters over demons and circumstances, We have this ability, this righteousness, this dominion, this authority to be like he wants us to be. We are supposed to be transformed into his likeness and his image. And read Romans. Romans is telling you to be like him, to act like him, to think like him, to speak like him. Because we are in him and he's in us. He's the head. He wants to speak the same. Jesus is still speaking the same things, but he wants to speak it through you. But you have to acknowledge who you are in Christ first. Our spirit and the gifts of the spirit. Now I'm going to take a break. So when we were born again, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in our hearts, our spirit. Romans 5 and 5 says, now the hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by this Holy Spirit who was given us. The love of God is already in us. If you're looking to try to get love, you're missing it. Love's in us. It has to be developed. And you develop it, but through the Word of God. By acknowledging the Word, acknowledging what He's poured into you, and worshiping Him, and thanking Him, and praising Him, and thank you that I'm born of love. I'm born of God. What's born of God overcometh the world. I'm born of love. Love's in me. Meditate on the love scriptures. And feed your faith and acknowledge what's in you. That will keep you in the realm of love. Praying in the Holy Ghost will keep you in that place also. Because we are now alive to God, we are vessels which God works through, one area being the gifts of the Spirit. They are not for the body. They are for the body cannot make the contact with the Holy Spirit. They are not for the soul, for the soul is the mind, right? And the gifts have no relationship with the mental abilities. They are supernatural manifestations which we had at the weekend. And words of knowledge, words of wisdom, descending of spirits, the gift, the supernatural gift of faith, the gifts of healings, all of those gifts. The nine gifts of the Spirit, where do they operate through? Through your spirit man. They don't operate through the mental realm, through the soulical man. They operate through your spirit man. It's a whole 9 weeks of teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, but they all operate through your spirit. And we had a whole weekend of it. And people were operating in the gifts of the Spirit, and God was showing them pictures and giving them words of knowledge and showing them pictures and where to go and different things. But there has to be a demand on it. There has to be an expectancy for it. This means that the spirit of man becomes the container or receptacle of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. See, your spirit becomes the container for those gifts. People say, oh, I've got the gift of this. Listen, they're His gifts. Holy Spirit has nine gifts. And as He comes and as you yield to Him, He allows you to operate in those gifts. If they were your gifts, if you had that gift, if you had the gift of healing, you could go anywhere, anytime and heal anybody. But the gifts of the Spirit is as He wills and as He purposes. Now, He's willing and He wants to do it, but we have to be open to it. But they're His gifts. So we acknowledge, Spirit of God, they're your gifts. They're your words of knowledge. They're your the gifts of healing. They belong to you. But I'm willing for you to operate through me. He wants to operate in these gifts through us as the body of Christ. So that's why we have to walk out of this new creation reality. Because that's where they operate from. We hear the words of knowledge in our spirit. He speaks to our spirit. We get words. We were in a meeting at the weekend there. And this man came to the church, right? That was the last night at the Supernatural Conference. This man came to the church. He didn't come to this church, the church that we go in. I know the church he goes to, right? He came to this church and he's sitting there. And we've given testimony what happened on the street that day. And then Tracy turned around and says to this man, look, I was sitting there thinking about it. See, we walk together. She opens her mouth and she goes, we believe we're going to prophesy to you tonight and the word of the Lord's going to come to your life. He just looks, right? So he gets up and he comes to the front. I'm standing there. Tracy starts prophesying his word for him. Carol had a word for him, specific things. I'm standing there and I hear this word. It just goes over in my spirit. I heard it clear, just right across, like a television. I just saw it inside. And it was a word. It was quality control. The minute I says quality control, it blew him back 2 feet, people. I'm telling you, it blew him back 2 feet. The power of God went, boom, and it hit him. Quality control. This man is in some projects on a farm to bring the proper milk to New Zealand, and he runs a farm, and the government has been trying to close him down and tell him that he can't sell this milk, and this milk basically does wonders for children's eczema and the whole deal. See, the milk that we're drinking today, you can't break it down. Pasteurized milk can't break down in your body, and it's causing all sorts of allergies within people's lives. And this man has a vision to do all these things, and the government tried to close him down. And so when I spoke, quality control, the power of God has hit him. And then Tracy and the word from the other two talked about the visions and the treasures within him that he's basically just about going to let go. And God says, don't let go. No, we didn't know all that stuff, but the Spirit of God did. So the Spirit of God brought to his life, it revived his vision, revived him to step back in. And we knew by the Spirit of God that God was about to work on his behalf and do things and change things in the realm of the Spirit to bring this to pass, the vision that God placed in his heart. But you won't do it unless you step into the supernatural, unless you walk in who you are in Christ Jesus. We don't just let the government and people just, you know, come against us and do what they want to do because they're the government. No, when it comes against the things of God and the vision of God, we stand on what God says and let God change the things in our nation. So God is looking for his body to rise up and start taking dominion. So we knew that night, God's about to change things in this man's life, but he had to rise up and start taking authority, start speaking to some things in his life and what governments have been trying to do and close them down. And he says, I know tonight what God's been saying to me, and I have to start changing this whole way I think. So it was awesome. Gifts of the Spirit. And here's the... So it becomes the fusing man's spirit and God's spirit, making man's spirit dwelling place of the gifts of the Spirit. And here's the scripture, and then I'm going to close for the first half. 1 Corinthians 12 and 8 and 10 says, for to one is given... See, to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, Holy Ghost is talking about, to another faith by the same Spirit, and that's the gift of faith, not the faith that you get from the word of God, that's the supernatural gift of faith that is so supernatural, it's spoken, it changes something absolutely instantly. To another the gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues by the same Spirit. It's not your heavenly language. It's the tongues, and with those different tongues come interpretation, right? So it's a whole different tongue it's talking about, because this is by the Spirit of God. You can pray in tongues anytime you want, because it's your heavenly language, but this is one of the gifts of the Spirit. To another, the interpretation of tongues, interpretation of that tongue, when that tongue comes, and it's a tongue, there's an interpretation of that tongue revealing the plan and purpose of God. How does it all happen? From your innermost being. Being sensitive in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost, being sent, knowing that you are in Christ. God deals with your spirit. There's things that these things here I'm talking about right now is what? It's your inheritance. These gifts are your inheritance. And we have not been operating them to the fullness that God wants us to operate. They've been sitting there. There's been people that's operating them over the years and over the centuries. But it's for now. God never changes his mind. This is your inheritance. To rise up in the supernatural. That's how the kingdom of God is going to overcome all things. Through the weapons. Through the supernatural power of God working through your spirit, man. Amen. We'll close there. Hallelujah.
Yep. I'm going to go back in. Oh, thank you. Yeah, well, great to be here again. Looks like slim pickings. Where's all your buddies tonight, eh? Yeah. That's okay. As long as we came. Imagine if you turned up. Kia ora, message to pastors. Yeah, we couldn't bring our ministry. We didn't even bother coming ourselves. That would be the flesh, all right? So we came by faith, and we say thank you very much. We sent a late notice to Pastor Scott. Oh, I don't know, 3:30. Late notice. Our musos can't come. They've got something they're doing for the Lord, some crusade beginning like tomorrow. So they have to prepare for that. So we let them off. But I thank God because it was so gentle. That's kind of like my stream, you know. I could have just gone to sleep and that. Just so gentle. And then we get Danny Scotsman. Aye, wake up. So I'm sure you're all awake by now. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm not going to take too long. Okay, let's get into the fruit of the Spirit. We'll bring them next week. Thanks for asking. Holy Spirit, remind us. And if any of you think they're too loud, just bring your little earplug things, all right? We'll have no complaints. You did ask for them. They're coming. That's beautiful. I like this church. Earplugs are provided because they'll be loud. Look, is there any more requests? I've got to get this class in order. I want to go home tonight. Any more requests? No. Okay. We're ready to go. I love it. Okay, we're ready. Ready and on deck. Okay, the fruit of the Spirit. Neither the soul nor the body can produce this fruit because it's a spiritual fruit. This fruit comes entirely from our born-again nature. It is not possible to have this fruit until a person is born again in the Spirit. Now, sinners do not know the fruit of the Spirit. Any similarity to the fruit is quickly dissipated in times of moral and spiritual crisis. I'll use Danny's example here. You know, there's lovely people out there. They're all lovely and they're nice and they're sweet and they're gentle. So, you know, the born-again spiritual children of God, we just haven't got it all right? There are lovely people, lovely cultures, all right? But his example is in times when there's like death, you know, if there's a death of the parents, and you find all these lovely people getting their nose out of joint when it gets time to the will being read. And they go arguing about this and they get their nose out of joint. You know, the sorrow about the parents dying has gone right out the window. Their selfish, carnal nature is manifesting. They've even forgotten about the grief. They're arguing with those in amongst their family members about who got what. No, I wanted mum's jewelry. No, it's mine. Well, you're always the favourite. Hello? It happens. And sweet people can turn nasty when things have gone wrong for them or it's not gone the way they thought it would go. Amen. So thank God we have the fruit of the Spirit and we don't have any rights to turn nasty like little gremlins. We need to know about the fruit of the Spirit, amen, and have that developed in our life. God wants all of us as his children to bear much fruit. This fruit in our lives is divine, okay, it's heavenly, and it flows naturally through our spirit. Our spirit is like a river. Rivers of living water come out of our spirit, and that's where the fruit comes. It comes out of our spirit. We're created in his image. We're not striving. We're not saying, give me that fruit and trying to eat it and trying to make it happen. As we develop in the fruit of the Spirit by hearing the word of God, by making declarations about the truth that we are the fruit of the Spirit, I am love, I am peace, I am joy, our fruit will get developed and we will grow in that fruit. And it'll become naturally supernatural walking in that fruit. We're living testimonies. We both came from fiery backgrounds. Like, we're both leaders in our own right. Imagine us coming together as husband and wife. Wives, submit to your husbands. Yeah, that'll be right, mate. I'm not very good at that. I'm like a leader. 101, I'm the chief. No, I'm the chief. You submit to me. No, you do as you're told, submit to me as Christ loves the church. You can imagine there was a warfare in the beginning. And then we submitted to the word of God. We submitted to the fruit of the Spirit. And then we became as one. Very beautiful. So we're here to testify. It works. And it doesn't matter what character you are. If you are like an A-line top, you know, chief type personality, you can still submit to the fruit of the Spirit of gentleness. And if you're a gentle character, you can still become bold when it's necessary and required. So we can have access to that fruit of the Spirit. It is ours. It's just like my driver's license. This thing empowers me to drive on the roads. The fruit of the Spirit empowers us to be exactly like Jesus. Amen? Exactly like Jesus. Very beautiful. I've said it before. Nobody gravitates to know-it-alls, all right? We're to be exactly like Jesus. He didn't go around showing off. See, look what I did. I just raised the dead. Beat that. He never did that. He was humble. He was gentle. Yes, he was bold when boldness was required to come upon him when he was dealing with the religious people. But he was a beautiful, beautiful person. And we've been given a license to be imitators of Jesus with the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. It's not impossible, okay? Not impossible. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such there is no law. I'm not going to tell you any stories tonight of shopping myself. Because I've been perfect all week. Just like you all. Yeah, no, I haven't. Anyway, we're moving along. We're going to stick to the teaching. I've had my trials this week, and mainly, guess what? The trials were with myself. As normal. Okay, so there we are. The fruit of the Spirit are the attributes of God's essential being. In other words, they are manifestations of who God is. Amen? 1 John 4:8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And we're talking about agape love, God's supernatural agape love. Not phileo, not the friendship love, not eros, not the sexual love. God's supernatural agape love, which is above all and beyond all and through us all. Amen? We as Christians now have the ability through our spirit to manifest in our lives the qualities of God himself. It's very beautiful. We can look in the mirror of the word. We can confess the word of God. We can declare the word of God. And we will become the word of God. Amen? In him we have all things. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 2 to 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Amen? Partakers of his divine nature. We can be partakers of self-control. And that's how we escape the worldliness and the sin thereof. Because we're self-controlled, we can escape the lust of the flesh. Because we are born of love and we've got joy, we can escape the snares of depression through the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Because we have and we are walking as peacemakers, and we are peaceful because we have a spirit created in the image of God, and God is not chaotic, and God is not insane. God is peaceful. So because we have the fruit of the Spirit operating in us like a mirror, we have that peace running through our spirit, and we can have that soundness of mind, and we can escape insanity, because there's insanity all around about us. Just have a look at the politicians. Liars, people who are competing, not on planet Earth sometimes, out there with greedy motives to keep the people down and suppressed. But we are partakers of soundness of mind, of peace, so that despite what's going on in the world, we're not to be moved by it. We're not to be moved by the earthquakes. We're not to be moved by what the government dictates. Remember, we are under a different government. We are under the government of heaven. Amen? And they may make decisions, but we can walk around with the peace of God and the joy of the Lord and the love of Christ, because that's who we are. That's our supernatural nature. Amen? And we're not to be dictated by the government. Yes, they make rules, and we're to obey those that have the rule over us, but we come from another kingdom. And we come under the kingdom of God's love. Amen? And we can be that salt on the earth. We can be that light. We don't have to get depressed by the economy. We just need to walk in the trueness of God's love. And then we are rich. We are rich. If you're walking in love, you are wealthy. If you're walking knowing that you're loved and accepted and the beloved, you are streets ahead from most people who have money. Money does not answer all things. There are wealthy people, and they are so lost, and they're alone without Jesus, and they don't know the revelation of love. So if you get the revelation of love, and you walk in love, and you show love, you are wealthy, because that's the treasure from heaven. Amen? Amen. We don't need the stuff of the world to make us happy, because it's temporal. What if you lost it all? Then you're unhappy. What kind of Christian are you? Notice the past tense of verse 3 when it says he has given. That means it's already at our disposal. All things pertaining to life and godliness. Amen? All things pertaining to life. We're to look like we're alive and awake on planet Earth. Not look like that movie, The Walking Dead. What kind of movies are they bringing out these days? No, I see. I go to the movies and you see the stinking ads. And I'm telling you, this is what I do sometimes. Or, you know, you see the ads for the movies. I go like this. My God, I don't want those images. I was at my daughter's in the Gold Coast. I turned on their Foxtel TV or something to watch something else. And on it, it was a program. I couldn't even get the remote to stop it. The program was called Lucifer. I'm like, what is that? And I'm trying to stop it, and the remote wouldn't even work for me. I'm saying, Jesus, get this off. And it was, people were dying and waking up and saying, I need to find Lucifer. I'm like, he's advertising himself so obvious, people still can't see him. He's going, hello, here I am. Help me, Jesus. What a blind world we live in. Okay, so this one verse tells us that whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, we have the means from God, whether it be physical life or a spiritual godliness challenge. We have the means of God. For example, this week, we had such a busy week with ministry, and every night and a couple of seminars during the day, I hit like a real weariness come Monday. A real weariness. And to pull out of that, I had to just get on my knees, confess the word, get into the presence, get into the anointing, and bang, I was up again. I was like this kangaroo, and I was like bouncing around. But if I didn't press into Jesus and into his presence and into his word and confess the word over me, I would have stayed in weariness all day long. And he would have come home and I would have been grumpy. I'm not happy to see you. I'm not even happy. I made a choice, and I had to make a choice every day to pull out of that kind of weariness, exhaustion. Because we can have, yeah, there are real life examples. Yeah, we get weary. We get tired. You know, Dan arrives home 5:15 from work. Noel Leeming, it's Christmas. Bit of a mad place. Retail. Arrives home 5:15. We're meant to leave at 5:30 to come here. Yeah, shave, get clothes on, let's go. You know, so we come here and we pray in tongues on the way over, and we listen to music. We worship God on the way over so we can arrive here with a bit of life in us. Amen? Otherwise, you'll pick up our spirit. We could be confessing the word like this. Can't be bothered being here. Okay? So all of us have to do it. All of us have to do it. Secular jobs, we have to do it. All right? Amen. We all have to do it. 2 Peter 1, verse 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We have been given exceedingly great and precious promises from God to our new creation. Amen. It's not to our soul. It's not to our body. Body's like a lump of clay sometimes, very sluggish, doesn't want to do the things of the Lord, doesn't even want to pray in tongues sometimes, most of the time. Our soul, it can be carnally minded, enmity against God, like kicking against the pricks. No, I can't be bothered. And doing its own thing. I'll just watch TV all day. Yay, happy days. It takes an effort to walk in the Spirit. It takes an effort to be disciplined, to be like Jesus, because it doesn't come natural to our carnal nature. Our carnal nature wants to be like the world. If it feels good, do it. If you don't feel like doing it, I'm not doing it. It takes discipline and it takes effort to walk in godliness and holiness. Amen? And we have to do it every single day. If I didn't look in the mirror of the word and pray in tongues and listen to worship music for a whole week, I wouldn't be radiating joy. I wouldn't. You have to look in the mirror and you have to do this every day, okay? It's a discipline, just like brushing your teeth. I don't want to be around you if you don't brush your teeth. Your breath is going to stink. Amen? So we need to look into Jesus, have that river of life flowing, fruit of the Spirit flowing, so that the lost people will be attracted. They'll want to be around us. And then they'll say, what is it about you? And we say, hey, it's Jesus. Amen? It's all because of Jesus. I love it. He's a beautiful person. Okay, so the next statement is astounding, that through these promises we may be partakers of his divine nature. The definition of partaker means to take a share of his divine nature, have some of his divine nature, to participate in his divine nature and to receive of his divine nature. Amen. It is obtainable. This means that God wants the new creation person to share in, participate life as God has it won on the earth. And that is a life that is victorious. It is full of energy. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are victorious. Victorious over our flesh, over the lust of the flesh. Remember last week I said I was having a bad time after coming back from the Gold Coast? I was having a tantrum. And the enemy jumped on the bandwagon. He sent me this little ball, a little ball of oppression, wasn't that little? And I was like under the circumstances. And I had to fight to get back up. It's like an arm wrestle some days. No flesh, you're not going to have your own way. I'm going to press into Jesus and make declarations, okay? Make declarations. Make this your confession every day. I am walking in the fruit of the Spirit. I am walking in love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Do it over and over again. Particularly the ones where you are weakened, go to those ones. If you've got a bad temper, I am self-controlled. I am self-controlled. I am self-controlled. Because we need to have our brains washed by the washing of the water of the Word of God. Two examples. Who's old school in here where we remember the blackboard at school? How did we learn the times table? The teacher put it on the blackboard and we used to learn it by rote. 2 times 2 is 4. 2 times 3 is 6. 2 times 4 is 8. 2 times 5 is 10. Over and over. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Over and over and over. To this day, I know my times table. How many of you watch Sesame Street and learn your ABCs of Sesame Street? A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, blah, blah, blah. I learned it. Big Bird. It was a Big Bird teaching me. I don't know. I watch Sesame Street all the time, over and over. And I'm singing along. And I learned my ABCs. And I know it to this day. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. You will have faith in your spirit if you confess this over yourself. And yes, it is washing your brains because I've said that. Your brains need washed. And your spirit man on the inside will grow. I am love. I walk in love. I am self-controlled. I walk in self-control. I am self-controlled. I am self-controlled. And that arm wrestle is going on and you are winning over your bad temper. I am patient. I am kind. I used to be impatient. I like that scripture, faith is now. I'll take that. I want things now, God. Well, me and God, we have a different timetable. Faith is now. It's not really, it's not now. It's like one day is like 1,000 years. Some things is like long time. Like my darling children, long time. Serving the Lord again, okay? But if we say, thank you, Father, I am patient. I am patient. And it's much better. It's easier living with someone that's patient. In fact, it's easier living with yourself. When you're being patient, it's much easier doing life. You don't get so impatient when things don't go your way. And you don't get impatient when people don't behave towards you in the manner you think they should. It's much easier living with yourself. I love living life, being peaceful. It's great. Ah, wonderful. Chaos can be going on outside right here, and it's like, not touching me because I've got this whole bubble of peace going on. And you develop it. I wasn't always like this. Don't ask Danny. No telling of tales. It gets developed. It gets developed. It's like watering a plant and growing a vegetable garden. It doesn't come up overnight. But as we press in and you keep on speaking the word and declaring it over yourself, you will change. I know it. I'm living testimony of it. So is my husband. Living testimonies that this word works. Amen. The word works. It's powerful and it's creative and it works. Amen. Through faith we receive the promise. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We can see from this one verse that God has already given it to us. All right, we just need to believe it and receive it. He's given us every spiritual blessing to enjoy. These blessings have their origin in the spirit realm, and it will take faith to manifest them in the natural realm. Amen. Mark 11, 22 to 24. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Doesn't mean if you're having a bad hair day with your partner, you say, mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. That doesn't apply there. Doesn't matter what you think. Cast that carnal thought down. I don't know. You're not even married, brother. You're going to get premarital counsel, brother. Note that down. That may have been what their Scottish granny done. They're bad. I mean, look, they can come up out their grave and give you the slipper. Fearful thing to fall into the hands of a Scottish grandma. I know. I've seen them in operation. And they don't care about the law. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, there you go. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive it and you will have them. Here we see the principles of faith in action. Notice the two ingredients. Number one, believe in your heart. That's believing in your spirit. Okay? Not believing in your head. Sometimes, you know, I remember some altar calls and you're wavering. People say, who wants to get born again? Your head's going, no. And your spirit's going, yay, yay. And you get all excited and you run to the front and you give your life to Jesus. You know? So it's your spirit, man. Believe in your spirit. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth. I've said this before. I know that when I said the salvation prayer, someone took me through it. I actually spoke it. I believed in my heart and I confessed with my mouth. And that empowered me to get salvation and become born again and tap into God's eternity by speaking it, not by thinking it. Again, you go to the altar and you say your vows and you have to say, I do. If you think it, it's not going to happen. Speak it. I thought it in my head. No, you're going to have to speak up and very clearly, because your confession of I do, well, that's you zipped up forever. I've said that before. I do. And the wife goes, yeah, hand over the wallet. And he might see $10 a week pocket money. I know, it's a shame. In my house it's that way. It varies. It's all up to your household. Don't make it a doctrine. Yeah, we have to speak it. Or in a court of law, in a courtroom, okay? They make you swear on the Bible. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God? They can't just stand there and think it. They have to speak something and say it. Words are powerful. You've got to make a connection to activate that law in the spirit. You have to make a connection with your words. God just didn't think, let there be light. In the beginning, he said, he spoke, activated his tongue. His mouth, let there be light, and there was light. Do you think we're any different? No. So you've got to speak, say, I said, I am peaceful. I said, I am self-controlled. Amen? And that'll stop me having a pity party or a tantrum. We hope. Jesus. Mm. Danny's praying hard. Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't know why I keep shopping myself, but never mind. Mm. Okay, so where am I? Danny, where am I? I love it. No wonder I thought, where am I? We need to turn it over. I was lost. Okay, Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Remember the times table, and remember Sesame Street. Amen. Hearing and hearing again. Our mind gets renewed, all right? And faith comes into our spirit and we grow in those areas of the new creation realities. God has given us the vehicle with which to receive faith and that is through the Word of God. All three parts of our nature are involved in getting this faith into our heart. One, the soul, allowing the Word to enter into our body. Two, the body, a vehicle that carries the Word to our spirit man. We need the soul and the body because we need to have our ears to hear it. We need to have our eyes to see it. We need to have our mouth to speak it. So highly necessary, all right? We can't just roam around like spirit beings on Casper, you know, like Casper the Friendly Ghost on planet Earth. No, spirit, soul, and body are all important. The spirit receives and stores the word. The Bible says that we hide the word of God in our heart that we might not sin against him. Amen. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Holy Spirit, set a guard over my mouth. Keep watch at the door of my lips that nothing evil nor perverse will befall it. It won't happen without us activating the realm of the spirit with our tongue and our mouths and harnessing our carnal nature, because it's always going to be with us, okay, until Jesus comes to get us or until we die of an old age. It's always going to be with us, that wrestle in there. And oftentimes, only we know the wrestle. Amen. I thank God he doesn't short me. So you know what self-control is? Self-control is when you are controlling something of yourself that's not nice, that's ugly, okay? And thank God the Holy Spirit helps us. And we're controlling the carnal part of our nature that's got to be crucified with Christ. Amen? You know who Christ is? Christ is the Word. We crucify our flesh with the Word of the Lord, of the new creation realities, the fruit of the Spirit. We nail that sucker. Amen, because it will get us into trouble every time. Flesh, it ain't nice. My flesh is not nice. Your flesh is not nice. But I don't have to come home and live with you to find that out. I just know what the Word says. Amen? No flesh is nice. The Spirit receives the Word through the body and the soul, but for faith to be released, it must again use the body and soul to speak it into its existence. Okay? Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things that be not as though they were. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. Okay? If you're impatient because you were brought up by impatient parents and you've developed an impatient character, don't give anybody an excuse that, well, that's just me, that's how I am. Well, no, it's not. That's how you were. You died with Christ. You became a new creation in Christ Jesus. All old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You've changed. You can change impatience for patience. All right? So there's no excuse. I've tried the excuses, all right? I've got an Australian mother. She was loudmouthed. And I've got a Scottish dad, and he was just... yeah, he was dominant. That's how come, that's why I'm like that, Danny. Mm-hmm. You can imagine many times we had verbal matches in our house. I'm not a librarian. I'd get kicked out. And neither is he. They say opposites attract. I don't know what God was thinking. The Lord said, behold, I will do a new thing. We'll put those two together and we'll make fire. Yeah, so anyway, we're here so that we can teach this stuff. 27 years later, oh, we graduated. We can teach it. And we can teach it knowing that, amen, it works on every front. It works. Yay! Amen. It works. It's what God was up to. Yeah. Anyway, love it. Okay, so here we go. We begin to see now why the soul and the body must be submitted or servant to the spirit. Otherwise, faith will not be released. Rather, the reason of the soul would come into play and now allow the mouth to speak the... sorry, it's a spelling mistake. Correct myself. And not allow the mouth to speak the faith words from the spirit man. It would only allow the words of reasoning. Remember your carnal mind? your carnal mind is your reasoning faculty, your reasoning realm. It would only allow the words of reason to come out of your mouth, which then would be according to sight and not by faith. For example, Monday morning we had a big week and a big weekend. I woke up extremely tired. My soul felt tired. My body was tired. Amen. I had a decision to make. Do I go with those feelings or do I walk by faith? I had to walk by faith. I got into the prayer closet. I did my confessions of the word. I prayed in tongues. I got into his presence. And you know what happened? I had an encounter with the Holy Ghost. Oh my gosh, I plugged in. I'm like, then I'm laughing. And I'm joyful, which the fruit of joy is. You can be happy. That's where it comes from, joy. Joy, spiritual force. And I got strength. And it's like, happy days, let's go again. I could have given into it, but I'm going to have a pajama day. I'm going to watch Downton Abbey all day. I just feel like doing that. And then what am I doing for the kingdom? What am I doing for myself? Nothing. Nothing. But I pressed in. I pressed in. I conquered that tiredness. And the Holy Spirit came. He helps us. Remember, he's your helper. Remember, he's there. You're not doing it on your own. He helped me. All of a sudden, bang, there's the anointing. And like, wow, I can go again. Yay. Yay. It's what we need to do. Amen. Make a choice. It's a choice. We all have choices. We have freedom of will. Some days we don't win. Some days we give in. I'm just having a jammy day. And that's okay too, because some days we need a rest, all right? But just don't have that as a license to be grumpy with other people. That's not good. Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 5:17, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity. The carnal mind, the unrenewed mind. Enmity. Enmity is a state or feeling of active opposition or hostility. So the carnal mind is actively in opposition and hostile against God. Amen? For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. It needs renewed by the washing of the water of the word of God. Amen? Summary, once we become born again, we enter into God's family, and as such we have entered all the promises of God. Amen? And remember, it's not instantaneous. Just like growing a garden, you got to water it. You get that word. I thank you, Father, I am loved and accepted in the Beloved, and I am love, and I do love others, and I am kind. Keep watering it, keep watering it. And all of a sudden it's like, wow, you'll turn into a love person. Isn't that nice? You'll turn into a love person. And then people look at you and like, wow, what's that about you? And you'll go, that's Jesus, that's love. Because Jesus was our perfect example of love. Amen. It's all pointing to Jesus, all pointing to him. Everything we have in Christ has already been accomplished for us. It is past tense. We just need to learn how to tap into that treasure. We now have a legal right to eternal life, healing, and prosperity. Amen. Father, I just thank you tonight that the Holy Spirit, you're so precious, you're our helper in a time of need. The Holy Spirit, you'll seal this word in the hearts of your children in Jesus' name. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would bring the word of God back to the remembrance of your children in a time of need, that it would be like an echo, and that, Father, they would know what to do, that they would know who to turn to, that they would know that they have a choice, that there is a choice to walk as a new creation in Christ Jesus. And we worship you tonight. We thank you, Father, for your love. We thank you for your goodness and your kindness. We thank you for a special blessing upon all of your children here tonight, that you'll bless them and love them and give them opportunities this week to share the love of Jesus with people around about them in their sphere of influence. In Jesus' name, amen.